Here in New Jersey, we most likely had the last blast of warm weather until next year. So, yep, it's time to reach for the heat, isn't it? When you're heating your home, there's, of course, the furnace. When you just want to warm up a room or at work, an office, you can reach for a space heater. Maybe I should say safely reach for a space heater. As the statistics reveal, too many people forget about that part about safety. Here are some tips on space heater safety, as well as how to deal with the aftermath if that safety thing doesn't work out for you, is the Senior Director of Training and Development at Service Master Restore, Peter Duncanson. How are you today, Peter?
I'm great, Chris. Thank you.
ServiceMasterRestore.com. You can find the location near you by entering your zip code at the top of their homepage, and they do provide a variety of services. One in particular I want to get into as we go through our discussion here with Peter. I'm going to lay some stats on you listening. This is from the National Fire Protection Association. When you look at number of house fires over a five-year period, heating equipment was the cause of around 44,000 to the tune of about $1 billion. Space heaters cause about 1,700 fires a year nationwide. That result in about 80 deaths, 160 injuries. Space heating is the culprit in, according again to the National Fire Protection Association, 81% of fatal house fires. So with those stats, Peter, certainly makes safety a priority, does it not?
Absolutely. Safety should always be your first consideration with anything you're doing in your home.
And you have some tips courtesy of Service Master Restore. One you would think is obvious, to keep it on a solid, steady surface away from high traffic areas. But if you have a lot of kids hanging around, a dog, a cat, a pet, even your own distraction, well, you can maybe hopefully rely on the safety, built-in safety shutoff, but that's not always a fail-safe either.
No, it's not, Chris. You know, the newer models of space heaters will have a tip-over preventer, so if it does fall over, it's supposed to shut itself off. But you have to watch that. And older models don't have that device, and as you said, cords are an easy trip hazard. And if you've got people running around, having it on a good solid surface away from other flammable objects is always important.
And even with that safety shutoff on the tip over, that still at least one side of that unit is going to have some significant heat to it. And if it falls on something flammable, you've got a serious problem on your hands.
That's correct.
Again, people think the closer the better. Well, not always. You recommend, too, positioning the heater at least three feet away from objects toward an empty space, not on you, not on furniture. And this is a great idea, too, because people don't think of ceiling fans in the winter or in the colder weather times, just in the summer. But turning a ceiling fan on helps circulate the heat. And whether or not using a space heater or regular heat, it'll probably cut your costs down, too.
That's correct. You know, as weather gets colder here, turn off those ceiling fans, dust them, get them cleaned up, and then reverse their flow so they're going in the opposite direction. That helps draw the heat around the room a little bit better. Keep it on low. I keep mine running year-round.
Don't place your heaters on, well, obviously anything flammable. That can include a high pile or shaggy carpet, dirt, dust, hair. Anything flammable can get trapped in the exhaust and the flows of the space heater. So keep it on a short pile of carpet, a hardwood floor, ideally tile, or if you have a sturdy, maybe one of those wood TV tray tables. That's some of the models are rather sturdy and thick built. Rest it on top of that, because that way it's above everything, and you have it more on an even level with the heat going direct instead of having to rise up.
Well, I would try and avoid the TV tray if at all possible. Remember, heat does rise. So if you can keep it to the floor and let the air rise throughout the room, it's generally better for even distribution. And remember, the longer it runs, it will generate heat even on like wood cabinets, and you'll start to see discoloration. Even within 3 feet, you could get some discoloration. So keep it pointed away from objects, and you can consider moving it periodically.
This is probably the biggest mistake people use: extension cords. Well, first and foremost, don't use an extension cord that's ragged. Don't start mating them up because you have your space heater significant distance away from the nearest outlet, and it can wind up being overloading, and an extension cord also heats up just like the heater does.
Absolutely. The other challenge, not just extension cords, but never plug it into a power strip, always directly into the wall itself.
That's the other thing people do. They see 5 or 6 plugs on a power strip. They figure, I'm going to use all 5 or 6, and they think they're saving maybe, or they just don't. They think of it as a convenience, but the potential and the nasty aftermath is not the convenience that you want to deal with. And as well, too, it's great to wake up to a warm room, but you recommend turning it off before you go to bed, and I'll add to that, that's why we have blankets and comforters, so you don't need the heater on all night long.
That's correct. Sometimes people will leave them on if we've got cold snaps and we're worried about pipes freezing. You know, opening the cabinets under sinks is better to allow that heat to circulate in there. And as you said, if you can turn them off at night when they're unattended, never leave them on if you leave the house.
And we're talking here about electrical space heaters. There are space heaters that run off of those small propane canisters, are more often used for camping, outside, outdoor tents, maybe in an open-air garage. Do not use those inside. I may be stating the obvious for some people, but for other people who maybe have their electricity shut off and they see that as the cure for what is chilling them, that's not the way to go with that one.
That's correct, and those do produce carbon monoxide. And you need to make sure you always have a carbon monoxide detector in your home anyway, but never use propane or kerosene heaters inside of a home.
Talking with Peter Duncanson, Senior Director of Training and Development at Service Master Restore, servicemasterrestore.com, their website. You can find a local location by entering your zip code at the top of the homepage. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Looking through your website too, Peter, I mean, I went in thinking, okay, they're going to address fire damage, water damage, and your people must see some horrific situations where you almost have to be, in a way, a counselor as well as a service provider with some of the dilemmas that your customers are facing.
Yes, quite often. And we do train our franchise owners and work with their employees on helping customers walk through the situation, whether it's fire, water, or other types of damage, and try and communicate especially what the process is. This is a new thing for most people. You don't have multiple losses, and we see hundreds every day, so we're here to help.
Certainly when it comes to water damage, people are still feeling the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy from all those years ago, more recently in New York City with the heavy rains that came down. So, again, it's a new experience. And really, credit to your website, just the FAQ sections for the various areas of service that you provide are giving consumers an education and know that's okay, these are the people I want to contact because they're already showing me the way legitimately, not trying to oversell me with things that I don't need to do or I don't need to pony up money for. But among all your FAQ sections, I want to just spend a few moments because we've seen the TV shows and we always think they're staged or exaggerated. Hoarding cleanup. How did that become part of your service picture?
Well, I've been in this industry almost 40 years, and I have personally done hundreds of jobs related to hoarding. We partnered with one of the experts in the industry a number of years ago and continue to do that type of work. Quite often we get the call because it's a water loss or there was a fire in the home. Sometimes it's the health department calling us or somebody within the family has passed away and now the rest of the family needs to clean it up. A hoarder situation can have a lot of different aspects to it, the psychological, emotional sides, as well as the overall filth that we do need to clean up and then always the hazards we need to deal with, whether they're biological hazards, from bugs to mice and rats all the way up to engulfment because there's so much in the structure that things fall while you're trying to clean. So it's become quite a specialty for us, and we have franchises all over the country that specialize in it.
And you also become a reliable source for local law and housing officials to determine whether or not the house stays or the house goes by the time everything's said and done, I guess.
Yeah, we work with local officials, health officials, as you say, police, even medical and home health care throughout the process, to whether people can stay in the home or whether there's compromised structures and things need to be removed permanently.
Well, as I mentioned for you listening, we have seen some damaging weather of recent days, recent weeks, and for those who are still suffering from Superstorm Sandy, yeah, it's been a long haul for you, I know. So that's maybe why you need to bookmark this website, servicemasterrestore.com, because it sounds like these are the people who are addressing the needs that you have. And if they are needs that you wind up having, they're the ones to turn to. Just again, their FAQ page is a wealth of information and education as well, because you might have an existing problem you've been dismissing. And when you read the information that Service Master Restore makes available at servicemasterrestore.com, you might realize I need to contact these people, and you can find a local location by entering your zip code at the top of their homepage at servicemasterrestore.com. He is their Senior Director of Training and Development, Peter Duncanson. Thanks for the information, the education, and the awareness of how we can protect our home and keep things safe. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the time.